For MeatPoultry.com, I'm Ryan McCarthy, Digital Media Associate Editor. In this episode of the podcast, we wanted to take some time to focus on trade between the United States and a major ally, the United Kingdom. Our guest this week is Nick Allen, CEO of the British Meat Processors Association. Allen discusses how Brexit led BMPA to move into partnership with the North American Meat Institute as an impending US-UK trade deal comes into play in 2020. Then, Allen discusses what are the similarities and differences between the two trade groups. Finally, Allen discusses what steps are needed for British citizens to know more about American meat products and what Americans should know about British meat. Take a listen. What all went into, you guys have been dealing with Brexit for several years now and trying to figure out what's going on with it. But was that the major role when with what you guys felt like this had to be done? Because you're going to have to, not only export stuff to the U.S., but you're going to be bringing in U.S. beef at some point, I would assume.
I think it's safe to assume that, you know, our government would look to include that in a trade deal. And certainly all the indications we're sort of getting is that they would want to do something along that. What the stipulations would be around that, we'll have to see. But without a shadow of a doubt, I think our government's looking to, and right the way through Brexit has held a trade deal up with the USA as a jewel in the crown, the prize that everyone wants. So clearly, and it's you know, they talk about it a lot, it's clearly something that they're going to prioritize. So it just seemed logical to us to actually sort of forge a bit of relationship with NAMI and help one another and, you know, understand the sort of the market, really. The farming side over here probably are a bit suspicious of us doing it, because they're opposed to any imports, but I think equally they're keen and see America as an opportunity, so you can't have it both ways. Trade is a two-way thing. We're already sending some pork to America. We actually probably believe that lamb has tremendous, our British lamb has a huge potential in the States. But the quid pro quo might well be that US beef comes, more US beef comes to the UK.
Right. I wanted to get a little background because for our audience, it's mainly American. We get a few people from the UK and Europe that listen to this, but tell me a little bit about the British Meat Processing Association and does it have a different mission at all from what we're used to seeing with NAMI at all, or is it pretty similar of how you guys are supporting meat producers?
It's pretty similar, actually. We we're made up of all the major companies in the UK, and we only do with beef, lamb, and pork. We don't get involved in poultry, and probably our members would be responsible for 90% of the pork that ends up on the UK market goes through their hands, probably about 80% of the beef, and probably about 65% of the lamb that ends up on the market goes through our members. And so we haven't got a huge number of members because these are big companies, but they cover a lot of ground.
I was just reading in a few different reports that a UK beef trade deal is getting and making some progress on a few different places the last few days. Can you tell me any more about that and how that's going to be different than what you guys are already doing with American exports?
I confess I've not heard anything, had any feedback from our sort of government that they're making, they've made some sort of massive progress on that, but you could well be right, but it's certainly not a bit of intelligence that that we've had over here. There obviously are discussions going on. I think that the big issue over here is going to be the use of hormones in the States, and this is a massive thing for the public. Our public over here have been conditioned against our hormones for a long, long time. So whatever the UK government is negotiating, I guess they'll have half an eye to the fact that they want to sort of stipulate something or strike a deal around something that is probably hormone free, because they'll partly be worried that that might therefore limit their access to Europe, because we're sending some beef into Europe as well, and that's what can be an issue. So but I confess I haven't had any sort of feedback that they've made some sort of progress over the last few days with the Americans, but that doesn't mean you're not right. It probably just means that your intelligence is better than ours.
No, these trade deals, there's things that I see and stuff like that. So we're always just seeing bits and pieces until it's formally signed a lot of times. So, I did want to ask you, is there any other regulations other than hormones that you have to convince a lot of the British people, the British consumer about?
The British consumer, and we've seen this with taste tests, over the years as well. They're conditioned to having their beef taste, grass-fed beef tastes different to corn-fed beef. So their preference is for they have that sort of preference for that grass-fed beef and the way it's reared that way. There will be a lot of talk about, and I think you have to separate regulation from standards and how things are. So there'll be a lot of looking at the animal welfare side of things like that, because we've got it's our belief over here, we've got some very high animal welfare standards. And they're, of course, tailored to the British way of thinking about what animal welfare is. So it creates a bit of a I think you have to separate what are standards and what are sort of equivalent and things like that. And so I think some of the arguments and the political arguments that will unfold around this, particularly amongst the trade associations in the UK, will be, well, have they got an economic advantage over us because they're doing things differently, and they may well want to play that as a sort of an animal welfare sort of card, and then some animal welfare issue, and so that those standards, I think, will come into question quite a bit.
Sure. What are some of the things that you guys are planning on doing to educate the British people to understand that although it's different animal welfare standards from American products, it's what are you looking to do with that?
Well, I think at the moment nothing is happening on that front at all. I think how it'll play out is if a company sees an opportunity for a market over here and that gets questioned, they will then justify and actually promote it in a particular way. Now it's quite conceivable that corn-fed beef over here could be, promoted as a complete novelty and something a bit different, and to some extent it already is. You see in some restaurants actually corn-fed beef, and it's selling at a premium above the standard grass-fed premium because it's something so different. So I guess it'll be down to the individual companies if they strike those deals. From our point of view as an organisation, we're not likely to get involved in doing that ourselves. That's down to the individual companies that get involved in that, and I guess some of that will come down to the companies on your side in the States that are wanting to sort of sell it over here and how they sort of sell it. Part of the the reason for us that striking this agreement with Old NAMI is that we can make sure that whatever's said is actually backed up by evidence is the truth, and it's got some science behind it. Because I think that's important on both sides of any of this. You don't want a lot of propaganda sort of going around about anything, because that doesn't sort of do us any harm. So we see the agreement with NAMI as a sort of an opportunity to make sure that the facts are out there, and we'll be standing by the facts and sort of saying, look, this is how it is. People will try and use this for one reason or another to to try and sort of influence the consumer and sort of either put them off something or encourage them. Sorry.
Tell me, you know, I'm always curious about this when we talk to people that are going to export into America. What should American meat producers know about the British product, since it's going to be an emerging market and people are going to be interested, I think, in trying this coming into 2020 and beyond now?
I think what we've got is we've got very high animal welfare standards. I think we've made a tremendous effort over the last few years to get on top of antibiotic use in this country. And I know some of the pork we're selling into the States at the moment is on that basis, antibiotic free. And certainly some of those things, I think, could be quite attractive in this day and age, especially with concerns about antibiotic resistance developing right across the world. So I think what it is, it's not a unique sort of product, but I think the UK sort of trademark is that we put animal welfare very high up the list. We've got a lot of monitoring of what goes on, and we try to, you know, what we sell on the international market is a quality product, you know. So it's a I'm not sure what you say is unique about it, but there is a sort of a way that we produce things and a way that we do things over here that might well appeal to some of your consumers.
But before we wrap up, Nick, I know you got to get out of here pretty quick. Is there any other things that you'd like to promote about BMPA that we haven't covered that you think people in America would really like to hear about?
Well, I think by doing this and signing this agreement, what we're saying is that we're open and we want to talk to people and we want to we've got an open mind about everything. And, we're very keen to make sure that the debate is and the comparisons between the States and the UK are honest and upfront and evidence based. And everything's taken into account. And as I say, we'd encourage people to get in touch with us. You'd be aware that we're there and happy to talk to anyone. Likewise, we're really looking forward to having a sort of a close relationship with NAMI and seeing if some trade that benefits both sides can happen, really. I think my main message should be, look, you know where we are in the States. Come and talk to us.
There you go. Well, I'll make sure to put all your guys' information in our show notes for this episode. So, hey, Nick, I really appreciate it. I know I'm catching you on the end of your day. So thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, that's great, Ryan. Yeah, anytime. Yeah.
Make sure to check out the latest stories from the magazine and online at meatpoultry.com. Also follow us on social media on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, all by searching at Meat Poultry. And if you like what you heard, please leave a rating and review. It really helps us. All right, that's it for this time, folks. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.